one hand together as a church and say, Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, with our hearts filled with humility, we receive your word this morning. There is no error in our listening and reception. There's no contradiction in the teaching. We welcome the revelation of your word. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. We're looking at hope, supernatural expectation. What does it mean to have hope? Matthew's Gospel 28. I'm going to repeat something I shared and taught earlier on in the first service as well. Matthew's Gospel 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority, that's what power, is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he says, Amen. So we find our purpose in the instructions of Jesus. You find your purpose in the instruction or instructions of Christ. That's where you find your purpose. Like I said last week, the word church is a functional word. It's not just what we do when we gather alone, it's what we do after it. Is the word ecclesia, to call out to purpose, to call out to purpose, ecclesia. We shared that last week. And Peter says, in 1 Peter 2:9, is teaching from the Old Testament as well. Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Then he says, you are called out of darkness to show forth his marvelous virtues, marvelous excellences. So being born again is a calling. Being saved is a calling. Don't say, where was my calling? Your calling is salvation. So you have a work, a task in the earth because you are in the church. Therefore, it's from the instructions of Jesus, not from our talents, not from our education, enlightenment, not from our background, not from our culture. We find the calling as our purpose. So the question is, this morning, today, this year, this month, this week, are you found fulfilling your purpose? Have you led people to Christ? Are people following Christ because of you? That's where we find purpose. That's where we find purpose to live for. In Mark's Gospel 16 as well, he says in 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. That's a command. Go. Go. If you're not going, you're not obeying. Into all the world and preach the gospel. Announce it to every creature. Do you announce the gospel? Do people get to know about Christ's work, his finished and ongoing work through you? The huagelion in the Greek, in verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. He says, they shall cast out demons as the word devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So the question is, this week or this month, have you laid hands on the sick? Have you cast out demons? Have you announced the gospel of Christ to people? Or you were busy announcing wedding, announcing bad news in the country, announcing gossips? Because everyone knows how to preach. It's just what you are preaching about. Announcing a birthday party, announcing a funeral, or are you announcing Christ's work to people? Do people get to your status on Facebook or on WhatsApp or Instagram or Twitter, and they get to learn about Christ? Do people come to know about Jesus through you? If you are not doing that, then you are living an aimless life, a wasted one for that matter. Because this is where purpose is found. In verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was risen up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And he went forth and preached everywhere. So I say everywhere. That's where your mandate is. The Lord walking with them italicized, and confirming the word with signs following them, he says amen. Then we find John 20 and verse 22. Don't forget, We're looking at hope, supernatural expectation. John 20, 21 first. Then said Jesus to them, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he's sending us as he has been sent. And when he had said this, he breathed on them with venomous eyes and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins, you retain, sins are retained. So we carry out God's task in the earth, because God is the one who remits sins. But by giving us his Spirit, he puts us in his stead, or other way around, he is in our stead, accomplishing his task on earth. My question is, are you allowing God to accomplish his will on earth through you? This is how you find purpose. In Luke's Gospel 24 and verse 25. Then he came and said unto them, or spoke unto them, O fools. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is expounding the scriptures. I want to repeat it again. That the Bible of Jesus is not Romans to Revelation. The Bible of Jesus is not Matthew to Revelation. The Bible of Jesus was and is Genesis to Malachi. That's the same Bible that Paul used. From that Bible is where we learn those words from, where we hear those things from, the doctrine of Christ. In verse 44, Luke 24, and he said unto them, these are the words which I said to you, or spake to you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, this is thus this is written, and thus behold Christ will suffer, and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Should be preached. So we are called to preach. Now, I did an emphasis for us in the first service, and I will say it again, that the church is a place where we learn God's word. The primary reason for church is to learn God's word. Now, quickly look at Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word ecclesia, I'll build my church. But in Matthew 18, just two chapters after Matthew 16, he says, now, of course, from verse 15 and 16, he's talking about when believers have relationship crisis, when relationships have issues, your offenses and hurts. He says you go to the brother first. If you gain him, fine. If he doesn't hear you, you go with two or three brethren. And you go together. If he doesn't hear them, then in 17, he says you, if you first hear the two or three, Matthew 18, 17, you tell it to the ecclesia. Now, the truth is, the proper Greek of that place should be synagogue. Synagogue. A place of gathering. You tell it to the place of gathering. And why do they have synagogues? Now, because they had just one temple. Anywhere they went to, that's the Jews, they will build a place where they will practice their worship of God. Not the temple, but where they practice their worship of God. That's why you see that when Paul got to Asia, he will go to the synagogue, not the temple. The synagogue. The temple is in Jerusalem. And the synagogue is where they will meet. And primarily the things that they were doing were to read, learn, teach the scriptures, then worship. That is the mirror, or like let's call it the template for the local church. Where we meet, read the scriptures, teach the scriptures, learn the scriptures, and worship. I want us to look at something critical. I'll say the way I said in the early service. What unites all believers is not where we meet. It's not the songs we sing. It's who we believe. Now, you can have believers of different denominations disagree on a couple of things. Some will say, well, we should meet on Saturdays. Romans 14, Paul says that some, they honor one day. They even say that you mustn't eat certain foods. They are not Christians because they don't meet on Sundays. Romans 14 said that very clearly. So there are people that differ on days of meetings. They will say we must not eat so and so. And you mustn't frown at them because you also chose Sunday. Amen. God didn't choose Sunday, you chose Sunday. Or did I choose it? Or do we choose it together? It has been chosen anyway. So that's not a reason to say he's not a Christian. Even those who don't wear what you wear. Some don't cover their head. Okay, that's you. Some cover their hair, women. You say, oh, no, no, no. Some believe in paying the 10% of their income every time to the church. And there's no problem because you need to actually give your income to the church to support the church. Some say, no, give as you are led. But it happens that those who are led don't really give. It's more like copper. Shall die. Alright, but you have that. So, that's the reason. Some say, well, we need to keep eating the Passover. Some say we need to do water baptism before we confirm that you are truly declaring your faith for Christ. Some say no. It's done in salvation. That's not a basis to de-Christianize someone. De-Christianize. Unsaved the person. Unborn again the person. Unindwelling, to remove the Holy Ghost. No. The core issue is that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, is God. Is that clear? He's God. We don't have a hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Deuteronomy says 6 and 4. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul. That's fine. That's what binds us together. To any nation you get to, and you find people different, dressing differently, or doing things differently, find out what they believe first, before you declassify them. So that binds us. So I said in the earlier service, we therefore come to that conclusion that Jesus is God. Very fine. Now watch this. In his humanity, right, both from the Old Testament prophecies and from what Paul in Philippians 2 says, verse 6 and 7, he says he emptied himself and became a man like you. For him to become a man, well, it means that he began to learn like you will learn. He emptied himself and became a man. And we saw it systematically. In Luke's Gospel chapter 2, go there quickly. We found the time that he was with his own parents, now dad, Joseph, and his mom, Mary. And they went to Jerusalem from Nazareth. They went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And then they couldn't see him, or they didn't find him after a while. So they went back to Jerusalem to look for him after 3 days. Look at 46. After 3 days. 3 whole days. And he's 12 years old. Someone say 12. Come on, say 12. 12 today in Nigeria, I believe, is either you are in your early secondary school days or about to finish your primary school. So in all classification, you are a child. And he was actually called a child. But notice what he was doing at the age of 12. Notice what he was doing. In verse 46, he was sitting in the midst of who? Doctors. Bible teachers. And he was hearing them. That word there is akouo in the Greek. A-K-O-U-O is used for eating, to take heed. So that means Jesus was seated just like you. And he was listening. And the Greek of that word means he was paying attention. Like you're doing right now, he was taking notes. Right? He's learning. That is Jesus. He didn't come as a man with all knowledge. He learned. Amen. Let me add one more. He didn't come to church without his Bible. Can I have an amen? Amen. He wasn't given Bible at the door. Can I have another amen? Amen. Don't die. He didn't come to Bible with a phone. None the right way. Can I have another amen? That is Jesus, God. He sits down like a student. Akouo. He's paying attention to the details. What else does he do? They said, and asking them questions. Epeirotou in the Greek, which is to investigate. Many of us hear the word and say, oh boy, you don't check it anymore. Jesus checked it. He checked it. He made inquiries. Which means that he was involved in the service. Some of us in the service are looking at wristwatch. When are we finishing? Something has just started. It's Jesus. He's learning. Paying attention. You don't outgrow this. No! I've been a Christian a few days. Just a few days. But I know, even as a pastor and minister, that I've been for a few days too. You can't catch me in a service not with my Bible and taking notes well. You can't get me. It's not possible. The other day I said in the first service, I went to preach in Benin City. 2016 or so. So I was a guest speaker. So a man who's a bishop in the Church of God Mission, he spoke just before I did. So I sat down and he taught. And I was taking the notes. So I was looking at me. What is he writing? I said, what were you looking at? That means we're not paying attention. And so when the service was over, the session was over, I now taught. Because it was my own session afterward. I taught for about 3-4 hours or so. So I now went and put together the things he taught. I put it on the Facebook. My Facebook is still there. And then he said, this is everything I said. I said, I took notes. I wrote everything you said. You didn't leave anything out. I said, nothing. Because I was paying attention. Even though I was meant to preach after, I should have just started like this, just praying. What about you? Rubbish. Nonsense. You're a student. You're a student. So I said, but everything he said, you know it. How do you know I know it? God's word is like food. You don't say, since I ate yesterday, how should I eat today? You die tomorrow. So you must have an attitude. You must have the right attitude. I don't go to meetings like a man of God, except even if I'm preaching. As soon as somebody is speaking God's word, I bring out my Bible and notes, begin to take notes. You see some people? They are 3 years. They've not even crossed Jordan. They are crossing their legs. Emoji. The God of man was sitting down listening. The man of God is looking at the God of man. Pride will not finish you. Arrogance is a bad attitude. How old could you be that they are teaching God's word and you are looking like Mumu? Yes, quote me, Mumu. Because you don't know anything. You behave yourself. This is God. He's learning. God, as a man, is learning. Hallelujah. There was a time I was teaching somewhere, and the fellow who wanted to teach was using the notes I gave him to teach. So when I was taking notes, what are you teaching? You gave me the notes, it doesn't matter. My mind is open to learn. Sometimes I learn a fresh application. Hallelujah. You must have a heart of a child. Anyone who acts like a grown-up can never learn about God. You can't do it. You act like a grown-up. How old could you be? Your age cannot be eternity. Have a heart of a child. Jesus here sat down. He is listening. He is investigating. Now watch what he does in verse 47. When they heard him, they were astonished at what? His understanding. That word, the sunesis. The way he was able to put the things together. And his answers. Apocritus in the Greek. His answers. That means if you listen well, you will talk well. They call you in your office. Come and share this about... you know, God is mysterious. Why would you talk like that? When in the service, half of the time, your mind is gone. Let me mention something. I've been attending Bible studies for a while, either to learn or to preach. I can't remember. It must have happened. But it is very rare, almost impossible, to find me get up when the word is being taught to use the restroom. That's why in the restroom, I can stay long enough. So when I come to the service, don't come and hinder my destiny. That's the truth. So in my mind, because by the time you go outside, something has been said. And so where I can get the teaching, that's a bad attitude. You must pay attention. What did Jesus say to Martha? You are troubled about many things. You are troubled. You go and make a call. Go and test the text. Hey, I'm in church. I'm hearing the word. You are not hearing the word. You are making a call. Have a right attitude. This is Jesus. So the answers he gave, I've told you before, good teachers are good students. Good students. Good students. What you didn't hear, you cannot see. What you cannot see, you cannot practice. When you are coming to church, come with a Bible, a writing material, and a good heart. What did I say? Come with what? Again? I'm not talking about that blade of the spirit. No blade of the spirit. Gideon. We call it blade. Some call it pin of the spirit. Complete Bible. Genesis to Malachi. And then to the book of Revelation. Have it in your hands. Then you are serious in your pursuit of knowing God. Now watch this. Jesus in verse 40 said the child grew and waxed strong and was filled with insight. Everybody saw it. He grew. The next thing you see, verse 52, he increased, he made progress. That means he did not come with divine knowledge, divinity. He acted in humanity. He set a pattern for us. Hallelujah. Say, I follow his pattern. Come on, raise your hand. Say, I follow his pattern. Say again, I follow his pattern. Make sure that's what you are doing right now. Follow his pattern. Hallelujah. So we act as disciples of Jesus, who are meant to learn his word. A disciple will learn. Now, I've heard people say, for example, go to Matthew 28 and 19. They say, well, that instruction was for only the 12. That's what they said. Which is ridiculous, though, but let's take that. Let's even take that argument. That instruction, every time I read Matthew 28:19, he's talking about 12. Every time I read Mark 16:15, he's talking to the 12. Every time I read Luke 24, he's talking to the 12. Okay, very fine. So let's look at if he was talking only to the 12, which is not true, but let me take that argument that he was talking to the 12. Let's look at it. Matthew 28:19. He uses the word matituo to make disciples. So who is a disciple? Now, a disciple is someone who learns from you to act like you. So if the apostles, the 12 of them, are meant to make disciples, that means they will teach to train for us to practice what they do. And so discipleship involves to learn by precept and by example. To learn and act. As a new convert, a couple of weeks ago when I received Christ, I'm still a new convert. And the brother who led me, now I got saved in a congregation like this, so I moved, got saved filled with the Holy Ghost, so then I handed me over to a brother who would follow me up, as we say today. You know, he said, Okay, how are you? He said, see me at 4 o'clock, the first day in Christ, not the second day. I've even shown you, some of you, the places I'm referring to. And we went out together. And he said, watch what I'm about to do, because we are going to do the same thing. So I sat down. I was watching him. He's preaching. He's sharing Christ. I only remember one verse. For God so loved the world. Why? Because I heard it earlier in the morning. The other verses, I kind of felt, where did he get this from? So he said, as I preached, as he preached, and I received, I can't remember. So he said, now it is your turn. Now? He said, now you must learn to follow Christ. Quickly. So he takes me out to say, alright, go and meet that fellow and preach to him. So I'm seated, I'm thinking, hey, you better be saved. At least act or pretend. So I'm preaching, the guy is looking at me and said, please, I don't have time. I don't care. So I'm saying, please. At least for my sake. Just believe. But the point is, that is discipleship. To learn by precept and by example. Just like in the Old Testament books. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was the one who heard from God. Genesis 12, 13 and 14 and 15. He heard from God. He had visions. Genesis 15 was that the word of the Lord came to him. So when he had Isaac, and one day, Genesis 22, you could come there, he's taking Isaac out. Alright? To discipleship training. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. And he goes with Isaac. And Isaac carries all the things together and they go up to Mount Moriah. And Isaac said, Daddy, my father, I said, Abraham said, I am here, son, verse 7, Genesis 22. Behold the fire and the wood, where is a lamb for a burnt offering? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, and they went both together. So he's asking the question because he is a disciple. Where is it? In Abraham, who knew because God spoke to him. Abraham goes with Isaac. And God speaks to Abraham. Abraham heard my 11. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked at the land. Said, Lord, he said, verse 14, this place shall be called Jireh. Because the man of the Lord shall be seen. So, pay attention here. He communicated to Isaac in words. Okay? Like, to explain to someone, to teach him. This is what God wants to do. Isaac didn't know. But notice, in chapter 26, verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac, unto him, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Then the Lord repeat what he told his father in verse 3, verse 4, and 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Which means, now he is practicing what his father did. So discipleship is, we learn to now act. Now he is receiving instructions from God directly. The same thing with Jacob. Now, when Jacob was born, together with his brother, Ishmael, Genesis 25. You had Genesis 25, from verse about 19 through to 22. You find the mother had visions, not the children. And Jacob began to interplay with Isaac, Esau, about birthright, and Esau despised the birthright, and all of that. So in the next chapter, or in two chapters of 27, we see Jacob trying to use the flesh. Right? Trying to use the flesh. And he did. But that wasn't where God put his hands on him. No. I've told you this, I've taught you this before. Isaac knew that it wasn't Esau. He knew it. Oh, the Lord has blessed him and shall remain blessed. Now that wasn't the first time they would know he was the chosen one. They knew it in 25. When they were born. So he simply affirmed it as a prophet of God that, oh, this is what Rebecca knew. This is what I knew. Now, in 28, Jacob now had his own experience. He's there, seeking the Lord in verse 10, 11 through to verse 22, where he had the Bethel experience. He learns. We have Joseph too, who was born by Jacob, who began to have dreams and dreams that he couldn't even interpret. Now, what happened is, his dad knew what it was. He knew what it was. His brothers got angry, tried to kill him. He's exported, alright, with no visa, as a slave. Now, what's going on? He's now learning it by example. Learning to obey God. Now, he grew to understand that vision. He grew to know what God's plans and purposes were. That's discipleship. We learn by precepts and by experience. You heard about prayer, it's time to pray. You've heard about suffering for Christ, it's time to do it. You've learned about persecution, you know the Greek word for persecution. You know the Hebrew word for prayer and walking in love, it's time to walk in love. So the book of Genesis has narratives of discipleship. You learn and you experience it. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying here? Can you see? You learn, then you experience it. You learn it. I tell the students of Bible schools that I teach for, I tell them, no matter what I teach you in this class, because I usually teach ecclesiology as well, no matter what I teach you in this class, until you start to work it, many things will now become realer. Sorry for my grammar. There's real. There's real, there's realest. Not real estate, too. Realest! When I say, ha! Exactly. So I say, prayer is that outflow or the effulgence of the glory of God. Come. It's that intense intensity that stretches forth the hand to Elohim. Elohim brings it out from the Eloha. Where you start to pray? There's one brother like that. You meet in prayer, and everybody's tired. After 2 hours, say, if we're happy, say, we are still praying. If after a while we named him, brother, we are still praying. Can't we say amen? One time like that, I was leading a prayer meeting. I think it was in Lagos University, with the pastors were in school then. And I was in the prayer. I think prayer stretched for long and long. So now I went to meet, I think it was Pastor Lan, and said, I sense in my spirit that we have the answer. I think it's YJ. I think it was YJ. He said, I just sense that God has answered that thing since. God has answered. God answering a prayer is another prayer point. Praying always. Hallelujah. God's answer is, oh yeah, pray. You keep praying. That's discipleship. You know, I've been teaching prayer, leading prayer meetings. Then one day, they took me they didn't tell me. I was the secretary of the prayer squad. They didn't tell me what it was about. That brother did not inform me. He didn't tell me, he didn't hint me. So they were going for an intercessory department, and it was going to be tough. I said, yeah, I'll be here. Yes. So the first day, I was so relaxed. The man who just shared for 30 minutes, let us pray. No preamble. I began to pray. 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, and I became angry. 18 hours. My anger was, I've told you now. Not that I cannot pray, but after a whole day, I cook up an excuse. So I do, I said, I had an assignment. We must submit it tomorrow. I wish I could stay. And then I was lying. I've never told this side before. This is important. I'm going to tell this the menu. I never said this information before. You know this story, but you don't know this part. I said, I have an assignment. No, it's not assignment too. Which assignment? I packed my bag. That was the assignment. I don't want to die. So as I was walking away, I told myself, why are you going? I said, I have to go. I'll do it another year. Not this year. This is not the year. I said, you've already started. Why not continue? Now the Spirit of God speaking to me. Continue. I said, someday, some lives will depend on this. Was a young corny. That place on the road to Ilorin. So I turned back. Reluctantly, God knows my heart was not there. I turned back. And if God was talking to me, I was not wishing. Maybe when I get there, they will say, "Amen." I got there. They continued. I looked at my watch. So you mean that my walk was no more than 30 minutes? I thought it would have been evening. No. That's how we continue. The second day. The third day. I'm glad I was there. Hallelujah. If I didn't go back, you would never have come here. All our obedience, they are related to occurrences later on. That's discipleship. You learn by experience. By experience. Look at Moses and Joshua. Moses and Joshua. The time Joshua was saying, "Lord, look what's going on, Numbers 11. He said, they are prophesying. Moses said, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would the Lord that all his people were prophets?" And Joshua won. Joshua was now, he had learned it. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. That discipleship. He learned by experience. Look at Jesus. When he was teaching the 12. He said, "The harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. The people are scattered like sheep without shepherd. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers to the harvest." What does he do? He sends the 12 out. That is precepts and by example. Book of Acts. The apostles were the first people who preached. Acts 2, Acts 3. By Acts 6, we now had Stephen, Philip, and the seven. By Acts 8, Philip went out to Samaria to preach Christ. Acts 6 to 7, we had them. Stephen preached to a multitude of people. By Acts 9, we had Ananias, which means the church is where we keep training people. Where you find a church or ministry, where it's only the pastor who is preaching all the time, there's a problem. People should be trained. That's why we have multiple places where you can give expression to the training. Our different cells, fellowships, different church plantings. Why? We're carrying out the multitude of the gospel. Making disciples of every nation. Can I have an amen here? So you must take it seriously. By precept and by example. It's not just coming on Sunday. There's no way you can. There's no way you're obeying God by showing up on one service on Sunday. No, you are not. You are just trying to see whether you can obey God. Obeying God means you are learning it by precept and also by example. Are you in church? So we're looking at supernatural expectation in God's word. Last week we looked at the phrase fullness of joy. And I told you last week that the term fullness of joy is the joy of salvation. Joy in its full circle. Jesus gives us a distinction, for example, between being happy over happenings and joyful over salvation. in Luke 10 and 20 and 21. Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you through my name. Rather, rejoice because your names are in heaven. Luke 10, 20 and 21. So we have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, go to John 16, has to do with the Messiah. John 16. Fullness of joy is not in acquisition of material things. Fullness of joy is only experienced by believers. Fullness of joy refers to the fullness of the prophecies fulfilled. John 16. Fullness of joy. The closest to the fullness of joy is yesterday's loss of my enemies. You have not seen anything. Me. You are using a video with me to congratulate yourselves. God knows. Heaven and earth bear me record. Don't mind me. John 16. You know, a preacher in Kenya told me, said, what have we really done for you? I said, Genesis 3:15. I put enmity. John 16. What's the meaning of fullness of joy? In verse 20. Verily I say unto you, this, that you shall weep and lament. The world shall rejoice. But your sorrowful, you shall be sorrowful. But your joy shall be turned into your sorrow. Your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Now, their own joy won't be turned to sorrow. It's fleeting joy. It's a joy in things. A woman, when she's in trouble, had sorrow because the hour has come. And that's the description of Zion. Isaiah 66. But as soon as she's in front of a child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born to the world. You are now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man what? Takes from you. It's the joy that can be taken. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Then he says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and receive that what? Your joy may be full. John 15:11. These things I spoken unto you, that your joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. So fullness of joy is the work of Christ alone. It is the fulfillment of Scripture that brings fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Now, joy is general. Joy is generic. You can have joy because you got a car, a house, have a child, you got married, you have a raise at work, you are promoted, and all that. You can be happy because you added a year to your life. That's absolutely normal. In fact, if they're not happy about it, you are not normal. That's normal. But the joy that is full is the joy that is full because of the Scriptures are fulfilled. The joy of salvation. The joy that comes from the saving work of Christ alone is a fullness of joy. That's what he's referring to here. The joy of the indwelling of the Spirit. And last week we read a couple of texts from the Old Testament books that shows the joy that we're referring to. Just view them again. The joy of redemption. The joy of salvation. The joy of the new birth. Isaiah 25 verse 11. Like we said, the Bible of Jesus is the Old Testament. Lord is our God, we have waited for Him, He will save us, this is the Lord, we have waited for Him, we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Rejoice in his salvation. We rejoice in his salvation. In chapter 35 verse 6. In that salvation, he said, you see the glory of the Lord in verse 1, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Then he says, then shall the lame leap as an hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out as streams, he says, in that desert. So you have the joy of the Lord. Is my strength, Nehemiah. Not Nehemiah. Zephaniah 3:14. Zephaniah 3:14. It's the joy of salvation. The joy of forgiveness of sins. The joy of God's righteousness. The joy of the gift of salvation. Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Zion. I told you, daughter of Zion refers to the entire nation. Just like I taught you during the week. It's obvious that God's word, right, has no gender preference. I said that many times. The nation is called daughters. Told you in the first service as well. God is described as a mother. And the work of redemption, like conception. That shows you that God's word has no gender preference. Now, it says here, rejoice. Then in 17, the Lord thy God, in the midst of his mighty, he will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. That's exactly what Jesus did in Luke 10:21. He's rejoicing. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This is the joy that is called fullness of joy. Because the fullness of scripture, plero, is the work of salvation. Luke 24:44. All things must be fulfilled. John 19:10. It is finished. It's the joy from that fulfillment that is called fullness of joy. So the Messiah's joy is your joy. So the Messiah's joy is my joy. That's why in Luke 24, remember I read that? As soon as they saw Jesus, you know, when the first time they didn't see him again, they were sorrowful. The second time, now they are born again. When he left their sight in Luke 24, they returned with great joy. Hallelujah. In Acts of the Apostles, when people heard the word, they're glad. Acts 4, the place was shaken together and they're full of joy. In Acts 8 in Samaria, when they heard the word, the whole place was filled with joy. That is the joy of salvation. The jailer who wanted to kill himself when Paul and Silas seemed to have escaped. Said, do yourself no harm for what I'll get. What shall I do to be saved? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive you and your house. Acts 16. And when they sat at meat and explained God's word to him in 33 and 34, the Bible says the man began to rejoice. That is the joy of salvation. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, we see that same description. In Acts 8, where you find the Enoch, who had just received the gospel through the mouth of Philip. When Philip was caught away, in verse 39, he went on his way rejoicing. That is the joy of the Messiah. So, with or without material things, that joy never decreases. It's yours forever. Hallelujah. Now, you now need to rejoice in it. All the time. Hallelujah. So I've got joy. It's everlasting joy. Why? Because it's everlasting salvation. Amen. Everlasting. Is not joy dependent on the news you hear? Is not joy dependent on the news you did not hear? Is not joy dependent on circumstances? Is joy that you have been given already? It's a gift from God. Hallelujah. And a believer must build his life on that joy. Must build his entire experience on that joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Joy. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God, Paul says, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, I've got God's righteousness. I have His peace, and I have His joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, as believers, God also has given us hope. We have joy. Then we have hope. Last we began to look at that word, we'll do more on it now. The word elpizo. Now they have wishes. You know, hope is not merely a wish. I wish, let me say that often. I wish, I'm going to leave Chelsea out of this for now. I almost went to Chelsea now, but not today. I'll wait till the end of the month. I have a sermon. Somebody asked me, he said, what exactly is the issue? I said, I don't know. But you'll find out. So, what? It's not a mere wish. You wish, I wish. Some of us don't know the difference. A mere wish. I just wish. Some of them years back said, I wish my father was saved. You wish? I just wish. I wish. I wish to. That's not hope. And I've discovered that many people teach it that way. No. Hope is a gift from God. The hope the Bible describes is a gift from God. Look at Hebrews 11. And verse 1. It is now faith, which is actually a continuation of a conversation from Hebrews 10:38. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now the word things there is not material objects. It's the word pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A. Pragma. That comes from activities, not material things. Pragma. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word there is elpizo. E-L-P-I-Z-O. Elpizo. Things hoped for. They're the evidence of things, he says, not seen. Now, when Paul prays for us, look at Ephesians 1 quickly. We'll go through a couple of texts. Ephesians 1. In Paul's prayer, he says, in verse 18. Now, verse 16 says, God will grant you in His Spirit wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding and light, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? The elpizo. What is the hope? So that word is an expectation. So believers are born with a supernatural ability to expect. Now I'm not talking about positive expectation. Pay very good attention. There is a hope of our calling that we must see. An elpizo. Paul prays that prayer. So look at Matthew 12:21. Let's run through some texts on that word. Matthew 12:21. In prophecy, he says, and in his name, I'm going to read from verse 17, because he's teaching from a prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 42 verse 1. He says, it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is pleased, I put my spirit upon him. He will show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sent for judgment and the victory. Let's take 21 together. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust, hope. That's the word elpizo. Shall the Gentiles trust, hope. In Luke 24:21, remember what they said to Jesus, Cleopas and his friend. He says, we are trusted. There have been he that will redeem Israel. Elpizo. To trust. To trust with an expectation. Now, the difference between this and faith is that faith is a persuasion. I believe. Faith in God's faithfulness, for example. But the word elpizo comes with an expectation. An expectation. So they are very, very similar. Very similar. But it comes with an expectation. You expect something to be done. In John 5:45, Jesus says, I am not come to accuse you before the Father, to the Father. There is one which accuses you, John 5:45, Moses, whom you hope in. Elpizo. Whom you trust. Whom you expect of. In Luke 13 and verse 7. In Jesus' description here, oh, I'm sorry for that. 1 Corinthians 13. Look at one of the characteristics of love, God's love. He says in 6, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. So the love of God rejoices. Say, the love of God rejoices. Now look at 7. It bears all things. It believes all things. What else? It hopes. Now all things refers to people. It's about people. So the love of God believes the best of people. The love of God expects the best of others. Expects. 1 Corinthians 13. Romans 15:12, just about what we read earlier. The trust of the Gentiles, same thing. Romans 15:12. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. So if I'm walking in love, I have an expectation, right? Come on. Come on. If I'm walking in God's love, I have what? An expectation. Not a mere wish. 2 Corinthians 1 and 10. This is Paul. Now Paul said, look, he's going from place to place, and they have given a death sentence. They say, when you see Paul, kill him. That's what they said. Whenever you see, kill him. And Paul says in verse 9, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we're pressed out of measure beyond strength, above strength, insomuch that we despair of life. Paul is saying, I am even afraid myself of life. I'm despaired, looking hopeless. But, glory to God, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? In God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from greater death, and doth deliver, in whom we elpizo, that he will yet deliver. Hallelujah. So which means, a past experience of victory in God's word gives you hope for another one. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I'm sharing with people, I was talking to someone who was sick a couple of days ago, 5 days ago. And he said, Pastor, this and that. And I said, okay, come. Have you ever been healed before? He said, yes. I said, did you listen to a teaching? He said, yes. He told me the teaching series. I said, and you got healed? He said, yes, sir. I said, try and always remember that story. Not what the doctor just said. I said, that is hope. He has done this before. Hallelujah. I've seen his power work here before. So I have what? An expectation. He has delivered us. and he will yet deliver us. We trust in him. Hallelujah. Anybody following me this morning? So he should give you. Years ago, I remember I had this diagnosis from a doctor. You know the story. My mom was there. She knows the story. And then, tried to give up on life. And I got healed. Supernaturally. I didn't even know much scriptures. I couldn't even spell healing properly from the Bible. So years later, I'd grown up in the Word of God better than before. Then the doctor begins to diagnose and I start saying, well, this and you remain like that. This is how you're going to remain for forever. And all that. I said, no, I'll get healed. You know why I said that? Because I had hope. I have a story already. And I remember it vividly. Glory to God. Vividly. So vividly, because the first time, I didn't know what was going on. I would just go to the hospital. Virtually every week, interestingly, my doctor's daughter is right here. She's my doctor's daughter. Or was my doctor's daughter. Sorry, you are my doctor's daughter. Who was my doctor? So you are not a was now. That's my... Hey, so, I'll go to this hospital. And the man would just look at me. And the nurses knew who I was. Okay, go up. And I just go up. Get injections. Sometimes I vomit blood. And then, you know, so I knew that story. How I got a hold of the Word of God. The little. And I got healed. So years after I laid hands on many people. And I tell me something. I said, no. I'm going to be well. It brought hope. Hallelujah. An expectation. A believer has been given supernatural expectation by the Spirit of God. Paul says he will yet do it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are manifest unto God. I trust you also are manifest in our conscience. That means in training people for the ministry, all you who are leaders, you must have hope. Is that clear? You must have hope. Over your disciples, over the flock, you must have hope. Hallelujah. You must have hope. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Have expectations. Hallelujah. How many of you know very well that I exude a lot of hope? How many of you know that? You know that about me? I can't afford to be hopeless. No, I've had very terrible situations. I can't afford to be. A friend told me, said, you are the most incurable optimist I know. I said, if I'm not optimistic, what should I be? Hallelujah. I've got no one to turn to. Amen. No one. But I trust in God. He has come through many times. And I know he'll come through again. Amen. So I got hope. Praise God. So in the ministry, don't say, I don't know. This is what his ministry said. I don't even know whether God has come. I don't know. Shut up! Paul says, we trust he'll be made manifest through you. I expect you to grow up. I expect all of you here to fulfill God's purpose for your life. That's why I'm always excited to teach. I'm teaching in hope. I know the Word of God is working in your lives. Hallelujah. In hope. I come here excited. Sometimes I've had a very funny week or day. Everybody does. Amen. God also does. God has funny days. Amen. Well, if you're hearing me for the first time, you look at me. What's he talking about? Here I'm coming. But you know, as I get a hold of the Word, I say, well, but I see people growing. I see them do God's will for their lives. So I come to teach in hope. A strong expectation that yesterday's drug addict is tomorrow's apostle. I have expectations for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why I pray. I pray because I'm expecting something. Hallelujah. And I've seen things work before when I pray. So that brings more or stronger inspiration to hope again. Hallelujah. Just follow what I'm saying here right now. Glory to God. You know, years ago, a woman, she came to me, they said that she couldn't have a child. So she had gone to France. They had done different surgeries. They had done IVF or so. I can't remember what was that. And then the thing failed. So she came to me at Edmund Christian, 2003. She said, what do I do? She said, she's giving up. So that day, she now saw a teaching tape on the seats. Why bad things happen to good Christians. You know, because of the kind of theology she was exposed to, she just took the tape. It's true. Bad things. She didn't even listen to it, though. How about the good? I said, do you know what's there? She said, you know how God? I said, no, it's the exact opposite of what you are saying. I said, let's go and deal with your theology. Doctors had written her off. Written her off. Said the husband couldn't find a child. She had a problem with her womb as well. Less than 2 months or so, she came and said, Pastor, you know what happened? I just went to the hospital. I was bleeding. And they told me that it was a miscarriage. Now, she said, miscarriage, she was feeling somehow because she came directly to the house to talk to me. I said, wow! She said, ah, wow! I said, that means you can have a child. She said, ah, how did you turn that around? Man, I like to hope. I think she has 3 children now. Praise the Lord. You gotta learn to hope. Hallelujah. You gotta learn to expect. Glory to God. There's a preacher who called me. Said, I think I'm dying. Just around January or February. I think I'm dying. I've not been able to go to church for weeks. He said, I'm gonna lay hands on you now. Praise the Lord. Because he's on phone. I said, put the phone on yourself. I said, stop saying, I've not been to church. What is your expectation? He said, I'm going to preach the gospel. For how many years? He said, for tens and tens of years. So this is just a passing phase. You come out stronger. Amen. He said, so you must have an expectation. I saw him last week. He has flyers. He's organizing a conference. Glory to God. You got to have an expectation. Hallelujah. Amen. You learning something here? An expectation. 2 Corinthians 5:11. As you preach the gospel, have an expectation. 2 Corinthians 8:5. That's about giving. You can ignore that. It's just about those who gave. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, if only in this life, verse 19, we have hope. We have all men miserable. Now don't forget, he didn't say you should not have hope in this life. Hallelujah. He said, if only, so we have hope here and hope after. Praise the Lord. That's why he says, godliness is profitable for the life that now is that which is to come. So I have hope here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've got hope. A supernatural expectation. Supernatural expectation. When believers go through hard times, they're never hopeless. They expect something to erase that memory. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, we're going to see it in a moment. Jesus himself rested on that hope. Hope is part of your Christian experience. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 10. Paul says, therefore we labor. I like this. And suffer reproach. Why are we suffering? Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. When you pass through hard times, you have hope. Hallelujah. I told you earlier on, I went back to go and pray because I saw something. Hope. Say someday, men were going to gather like this in their thousands and they are going to be praying this way. And it is coming to pass. It will keep coming to pass. Hallelujah. You know, when I left that prayer meeting, I went to Ikorodu then, and then as I went to some brethren just to share with them. Around 4 o'clock or so, I was sharing with them, and we prayed till about 11, and we had to leave the school because the school was going to close. They're going to shut the gate and, you know, put us in there. So the hope was there. You got to have an expectation. When you're coming to the church service, you must have an expectation. It's part of the Christian life. To expect. To expect. Hallelujah. Are you there?
Yes,
Paul says the widow, 1 Timothy 5:5, she's the one that trusts in God. That is why she prays. In 1 Timothy 6:17, said, tell those who are rich not to trust in uncertain riches. Ah, it's true. But to trust in the living God. Help people. To expect. Don't expect riches to fill up your joy. Expect it to be from God. Are you there? It's part of our experience. Hope is part of the Christian experience. Romans 8:24 and 25. The resurrection of the body. 1 Corinthians 16. Look at Paul. In Paul's daily experiences. 1 Corinthians 16. And verse 7. Or 17. No. Sorry. And verse 7. I will not see you now, by the way. But I trust to tarry with you a while. I trust to be with you. I trust to come and teach you God's word. I trust to come and impart to you God's word. The ministry is carried out by hope. Carried out by hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read that earlier. 2 Corinthians 13 and 6. I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. As an expectation for those that he teaches. You must do the same. Philippians 2 and verse 19. I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you. Elpizo. I trust in the Lord. Verse 23. I hope to send him presently. So the work of the ministry is also carried out with expectation. 1 Timothy 3:14. So the Bible is strong on hope. Are you there? 1 Timothy 3:14. Hoping to come and see you shortly. Have a strong expectation to be with you. To come and teach God's word. To come and bless you. Philemon. Philemon 22. I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. When people are praying for you, you must also what? Expect. That I shall be given unto you. Epizo. Second John. Second John 12. He said, I trust to come to you and speak to you face to face that your joy may be full. Second John 2, 12. Then 14. Hallelujah. I have hope. Glory to God. I got expectation. Thank you, Lord. We set out the Christian walk, the Christian life, with an expectation. What is it? It's a supernatural expectation, a confident expectation. Hope means confidence. To speak confidently. To act confidently. To wait confidently. In Acts 2:26, Jesus himself, in the grave, he said, my flesh will rest in an expectation. In an expectation. It's Paul 2, Acts 23 and 6. In the hope of the resurrection from the dead, whether it's about now or the future, the believer must be strong in expectation. Romans 5, 2. Romans 5, 4. Romans 5, 5. Strong in expectation. Without expectation, we cannot act on God's word. We cannot act on God's word. Romans 15:4. The things which may have time were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have an expectation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How does it work? We said, it's a confident expectation. A confident expectation. That's why Hebrews 11:1 calls it the substance of things hoped for. Hypotasis. Hypotasis. Which is confidence. Confident expectation. That God's word will come through. When we are believers, we are passed on to glory. We also have an expectation. When we are believers who are sick, we have an expectation. When we are believers who are growing in the Lord, sometimes struggling with the faith, we have an expectation. You can't afford to be hopeless. That's why you must never get tagged along with people moving hopelessness in the social media. Hopelessness around. No! Criticize the government if you like. Support or criticize. This is your choice and your right as a citizen. But act like a believer. Hallelujah. I told the brother, we're praying for our nation and we expect things to change. What about you? We expect things to change. We can't pray and be hopeless. No, we are praying and we are confident. When I'm praying for you, I am confident. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The pastor spoke to me a couple of years back, 2 years ago. He said, I want to close down the church, sir. I said, why? He told me all the things. He said, everything but God's word. I said, are you done? He said, yes. I said, when I laid hands on you, and I prayed for you, and you asked me to do it, I expected that the church would stand. He said, that's what I'm still expecting. I told him. He said, sir, he went on again. And he told me all the things he was facing. Sir, I'm trying to say, let's just take a break. 6 months, maybe 9 months, maybe 12 months. I said, like I said the other time, when I laid hands on you, my expectation was that that church that we inaugurated was going to stand. Hallelujah. That was last year, I think, yeah, not this year. So I said, come for the World Changers Conference. All the negativity, the demons that have hugged your soul will divorce all of you. He said, sir, I may not make the first day. I said, you see, the demons are already troubling you. He came. And when he was going to talk to me the last day, he was full of tears. He said, I can't talk. He said, I saw why. He said, I almost didn't want to come. He said, I composed a text to tell you why I wouldn't come at all. But thank God I have. Now they have started again. And they are going on and on. And they keep going on and on. Hallelujah. What did I do? I infected him with my hope. That's an infection. Right? Positive infection. How can you be a believer? You infect me with sadness. Hey, I see your point. After you talk negative, I see your point. Believer, I see your point. We are finished. I see your point. Things are done. No! Things are going to work better. Hallelujah. I see your point. I'll get healed. I see your point. The church will grow. I see your point. My business will flourish. I see your point. Things will get sorted. Hallelujah. I see your point. Amen. That is what you should admit. Not carrying out like, you know, it wasn't my hope, I am just passing through. The guy that sang that song years ago. He was driving his Peugeot 504. GR. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. And as he was doing one big trailer, big truck, passed by, very big. And then the weakness, the movement, shook his car. No, no! Ah!
beautiful, Obara.
He changed his confession. Hallelujah. This earth is not evil. Hallelujah. Alright, are you there? What is hope? A confident expectation. How do we know it? How do we know? Hebrews 11. Go to Romans 4, Hebrews 11. Hope always has pictures. I must see myself do it before I do. That is hope. Hope always has pictures. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 11. I won't be able to go to that Hebrews 11 much because it's going to take us a long time. But let me just start it out. Hebrews 11. Say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says faith. It says, by that faithfulness of God, which has that hope, Abel offered unto God. There's always an action to hope. There's an action. Hope is not passive. Hope is not passive. Hope as a service. Hebrews 11:7. Noah moved to prepare an ark. Hope has a movement. Hebrews 11:8. Hope has a calling. He went to a place. He sojourned. I'll take verse 10 critically. He looked for. He looked pictures. He looked. He saw something. Hallelujah. What do you see? When you started out that fellowship, what did you see? Glory to God. What did you see? When you got married, what did you see? What did you see? He said he looked at it. He saw it. A city whose builder and maker is God. And that's where we are today. Thousands of years ago, Abraham saw this. He saw the Gentile and the Jew having the same Savior. It has come to pass. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? He saw it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One day I was teaching. We were five in the room. Or four. She was there. And I said, what we are teaching today, one day will be heard around the world. Amen. Why did I say that? Because they didn't understand what I was teaching. I think it was integrity of the word. You're all there. I said, but don't worry. One day, the whole world will read it. They will hear it. It will be heard in different languages. In a room. Expectation. Because I saw it. Hallelujah. You must have the pictures. What do you see? What can you see? What did you look at? What did you see? God brings pictures to our minds. That is why you know imaginations. We'll see it next week. Imaginations are God's gifts. Don't use them negatively. They are God's gifts. They are God's gifts. Say, my imagination is a gift of God. To walk in His hope. I don't think I heard. My imagination is a gift from God. To walk in hope. Say again, my imagination is a gift from God. To walk in His hope. Hallelujah. It's a gift from God. Glory to God. That's why Romans 4:18. He gets hope. He believes in hope. Hallelujah. Against hope. Against the negative thoughts. Negative picture. He believed in God's supernatural expectation. Hallelujah. When I was younger, people would say stuff. Negative stuff.
So I'll quickly take it off my mind by speaking God's word. Now I don't waste time again, because before you say something, I've said my own. Hallelujah. When I see a preacher years back, and he said so many things. His other friend came in. We called him to come and preach for us. He said, the way I see your ministry, I knew you guys are not going to last. He was saying it. And I sat down there. He said, you know, I'm just wondering. And they spoke for a long time. So I left the house. As he was speaking, I was seeing something else. So I went to him. I said, sir, can I have my IV back? I collected my team. So I began to walk. Some of us, what we do, without going to talk to somebody. Hey, do you know what he said? You are only infecting people with negative things. I began to walk. Several hours. I'm praying in tongues. I'm speaking God's word. Sometimes I'll cry saying it. Say, no, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You called me to preach the gospel. No one did. And I'm going to walk in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have camp meetings, conventions. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are going to come from nations of the world to hear it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be on television. It's going to be on radio. It's going to be all over the world. It's going to be in books. People will come to this nation to hear about Jesus through our ministry. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I kept seeing it. Walked hours. 3 or 4 months after that. Almost as though what he said came to pass. We stopped holding services because most of the people had gone. I never stopped hoping. I cannot give up. Hallelujah. I can see it. I see what God is doing. I look into the future of our church. Today, I have hope. Amen. Supernatural expectations. To see God coming to pass. What pictures? How do you use your imaginations? What do you see? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Continue from here next week. Did you get some? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet. Pray in the Holy Ghost.